Scripture this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 24, verses 4 through 7. Then the word of the Lord came to me. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Like these good figs, I regard as good the exiles from Judah, whom I sent away from this place to the land of the Babylonians. My eyes will watch over them for their good, and I will bring them back to this land. I will build them up and not tear them down. I will plant them and not uproot them. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart. May God bless the reading and receiving of His Word.
Don't know how many of you noticed my tie this morning. It's actually one of my favorite scenes from How the Grinch Stole Christmas. As you may figure, it has to do with a deer. It's when the Grinch puts an antler on Max's head to turn him into a reindeer because he doesn't have one. You've heard the story, or you've watched the animated version on television, or perhaps even recently you have watched the movie with Jim Carrey, Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. It's actually a poem by Theodore Geisel, known as Dr. Seuss, and it begins, "Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not. The Grinch hated Christmas the whole Christmas season. Now, please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. But I think that the most likely reason of all may be that his heart was two sizes too small." Later on in the poem, when the Grinch is thinking about the fact that tomorrow is Christmas and he really needs to do something to keep it from coming, because for 53 years he has been dealing with that. So you see, the Grinch is middle-aged. Seuss writes, "Then the Whos would do something he liked least of all. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, would stand close together with Christmas bells ringing. They'd stand hand in hand, and the Whos would start singing. They'd sing, and they'd sing, and they'd sing, 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 sing." And you know, the Grinch was sick of it all. He was tired of all the hubbub surrounding Christmas. He was tired of all the happiness that there seemed to be in a world that for him was cold and callous and lacking so much. So what does the Grinch have to do with the Scripture in Jeremiah? And maybe even more so, what does the Grinch have to do with our 21st century world? I hope that perhaps at least the second part is not such a long stretch when you look around and see what's going on in the world and even in our own neighborhoods around us. But you know, the Grinch was not just someone found north of Whoville in Dr. Seuss's poem. In Jeremiah's day, in Israel itself, as well as in Babylon, there were many Grinches. Many who had much in common with that green character. And in part, he's green out of envy because of what he hasn't seemed to have found yet. And Christ had not come yet in Jeremiah's day. Actually, the Babylonians had come. And they were very much like Grinches to the children of Israel. in the poem and in the animated show and in the movie, the Grinch comes and does what? He steals away all that seems to be good, even taking the last can of Who Hash from the cupboard. The Babylonians had come. The Babylonians had taken much away from the children of Israel. In fact, the Babylonians had taken many of the better persons, or at least they thought they were the better persons, away in 597 B.C. They came back in 586 B.C. for another deportation of Jews from Judah. And actually, most scholars would contend, and I tend to agree, that this particular section, this vision of figs, good figs and bad figs, which is where the verses come from today, that those visions are probably between the two deportations. Between 597, when one group is carried away, and 586, when another does. And the Babylonians are seeking to keep not only Israel from having life, but seeking to show them that there is no good news other than what they bring. And what they bring is not very good news for anyone but them. Much like the Grinch. The news he wants to bring is that Christmas is no good, and the only good that they can hope for is the twisted good that he brings by taking everything from them. And they're trying to keep God's grace, the Babylonians, from coming to Israel, much as the Grinch is trying to keep Christmas from coming in Dr. Seuss's poem. The passage today is that vision of figs, though, the part of that vision which speaks to the faithfulness of God for those who will hear God and remain faithful to Him. Yes, they've been carried off. Yes, things are not going well for them, much as things seem to not be going well for the Whos after the Grinch came and stole all of their Christmas from them. And yet, even there were those who remained faithful to God, and God says in this vision that those who are faithful, He will not pluck up and carry off again, but rather will bring them back home where they belong. He will not tear them down, but give them new life. And He will give them a change of heart. Depending on which translation you read, it may say, I will give to them a new heart. In the New Revised Standard Version, it says, I will give to them a heart and a change, and they will come back to me with a whole heart, W-H-O-L-E, a complete and new vision. Old Testament scholar Daniel Berrigan states that the need for a new heart, or as I would say here from the New RSV, a whole heart, is an ongoing and ever-present concern, not just for Israel in Jeremiah's day, but even a contemporary concern in the 21st century. He writes, a new heart. Who has not longed for it? Knowing all too well the cold, slow beat, the insufficiency, the caprice, and the selfishness of the old heart of man. And who has not felt the spirit shriveling within? How convention and habit and rote and moral boredom seize on and throttle other images and a new spirit. Those images of clairvoyance, and he means there sensitivity to God, of a sense of justice, even of hope itself. One thing is clear. Along with the ferocious plundering of the resources of our planet, our spiritual resources also dwindle. Sometimes they all but vanish. Yet the word of Yahweh is clear, he writes. The one who knows the heart, who sets it beating, weak or heroic, must act and intervene. if we are to have a new heart and a whole life. As God has shown Jeremiah in the vision of the good figs and the promise that He gives, He provides an interpretation of that vision of the figs. God Himself says that those who truly listen to His small voice will be the object of special blessings. Special blessings that come for good and come from God. God will bring them back and give them a new heart. And interestingly enough, the word heart here in Hebrew, lev, also carries with it the idea of will or desire. It's not just that God gives us a new heartbeat, a happiness that just kind of shines out regardless, but rather that God gives us a new will, a new desire. For you see, in Hebrew thought, the heart, at the center of one's being, the heart was the place where you made your deepest, most serious decisions. In other words, it was where your will, your desires, resided. And here God is saying, I will give you a new heart, that is a new will, a new desire. Often, our story becomes sad like that of the Grinch. And we become hardened to the good around us, and perhaps even to the small voice that is there. The Grinch heard that small voice from all the Whos down in Whoville every Christmas as they gathered together and wished each other goodwill and peace, and as they sang together about Christmas coming. And yet the Grinch, rather than hearing the message in that song and in that happiness, the Grinch remained sad. The Grinch remained aloof. The Grinch remained deaf. And he was hardened to the good. Just as sometimes we become hardened to the good, even in the Christmas season. The good in people. The good in the life that God gives to us. The good even within the church. And even in the Christmas season, sometimes we get so overwhelmed by all the noise, 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 to quote the Grinch, with all the hustle and bustle of life, with trying to find that one gift that will make that one person ooh and ah and make us feel good. Our hearts may seem to become smaller, like that of the Grinch, who Seuss says, heart was two times too small. And we sometimes have a hard time being happy, even at Christmas, with all the joy we sing about. Inside, there is sadness. We have a hard time being happy even when we come together with family and with church folks who celebrate the new life that has been given. Yet God promised to Jeremiah, and in the same passage God promises to you and me and all the world, to act in such a way that we will not have to be unfaithful, and to give the gift of a new heart, not just once, but a new heart for all time. A heart of change. A heart that those who are faithful and listen to God will find filled with a song of grace, a song of love. We'll find that God is a God of new beginnings, and that we can begin again. Never was this more evident, this grace and this love, than in the birth and the life that we celebrate at Christmas. We try in so many ways to show the Christmas spirit, but like the Grinch, we will find that we cannot stop Christmas from coming, and sometimes we cannot bring Christmas. For you see, God promised it, and God has already brought Christmas. God promised that to all who were in exile, not just those Israelites in Babylon, but to everyone in exile, divided by the disasters of hurt feelings, of chaos in society, of chaos in the family, or of anything else that divides us from God and each other. God is the same, and His promise is the same. A new heart, a new desire, a new will. Now you might remember, as we've already mentioned, that the Grinch tried to keep Christmas from coming by stealing away all of the material things of Christmas. But when Christmas Day arrived, he listened for the sadness and for the wailing. And Seuss writes that he hears a sound. It starts low at first, and then it grows. But the sound wasn't sad. Why, this sound sounded merry. It couldn't be so. But it was merry. Very merry. He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes. Then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. Seuss continues to write about how he wonders about this. And he says, you know, maybe Christmas doesn't come in boxes and bags. He writes, and he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 times that day. And the minute his heart didn't feel quite so tight, he whizzed with his load through the bright morning light, and he brought back the toys and the food and the feast, and he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beast. So whenever you might feel overwhelmed, or maybe just a little bit grinchy, remember that God promises a new heart, a new desire, when we listen. For you see, the Grinch's heart grew 3 sizes because he finally listened and heard the sound that had been there all along. The sound of Christmas, bringing new life, new hope, new peace, and joy. When we listen to the song of the angels, when we listen to the song of the cry of a baby, and when we find that Christmas is more than rushing for the packages and boxes, the paper and the tags, we find, like the Grinch, that indeed we can sing joy to the world, for Christmas is come, not has come. For you see, for we who listen to that voice of God, Christmas is not a past event alone. It is a present reality. Let your heart grow until you cannot contain any more the joy of that Christmas spirit, and celebrate the feast with whoever you see. May we pray. Our gracious God, we do thank You. We thank You for the joy of Christmas. We thank You for the fact that even though sometimes we do not seem to hear or understand, sometimes the noise seems to drown out the good news around us and the stress seems to take over. But Your promise is if we listen with faithfulness for that song of Christmas to come through, that our hearts will grow and that we may share the feast that is Christmas with all others we know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn reminds us that Christ did come, leaving that which was His and yet coming so that you and I, like the Who's and like the Grinch, might truly know the goodness of His grace. Number 292, Thou didst leave Thy throne. And as we sing, our altar is open for any decision that you would make, whether that decision would be a first-time public profession of faith in Christ, to join this fellowship, or to rededicate yourself to God's service and to sharing a large heart with all the Who's that you know. Number 292.